Thank you, ladies. Thank all of our instrumentalists and all of our worship leaders today. We have been blessed. Also want to say welcome to those who are watching in our Life Center this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn back to Joshua chapter 4. And I want to pay attention to a couple of verses, verse 6 and 7, where Joshua wrote, "Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you will say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" Why a memorial? Why a memorial day? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd give us wisdom and understanding from your word. Again, we thank you that we have the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for these who have come. And I pray that they have come with hearts that hunger for your word. And when we leave here today, we will have been challenged to go forth and be your people differently than when we came today, encouraged and excited to be called one of yours. In Christ's name we pray, amen. A couple of weeks we were traveling to St. Augustine, where our other son lives, and we passed this place where someone had erected a well-formed pyramid form pile of stones with a flag on top of it at the end of their driveway. And when I saw that, I sort of smiled and thought within myself, what a great display of patriotism. And then as I drove on, I could not help but think, will there come a day when a child somewhere might ask their dad or mom, what's that pile of rocks for with that flag on top of it? Now, I hope that day does not come, but I fear that it will. How many of us have ever stopped to really consider the words of our national anthem? Listen to them a moment. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Now listen to the question. Oh, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Will there come a time when the star-spangled banner not wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? And with that question ringing in our ears, let me ask again, why a memorial? Why Memorial Day? Do we need a Memorial Day? For some, Memorial Day is a holiday approaching summer, picnics, parades. For others, it's a day that stirs memories, images of flags, coffins, graves. Memorial Day was first observed at the close of the Civil War. A group of women decorated graves of those who died in the Civil War. In 1868, May 30th was set aside as a day for decorating graves of the fallen soldiers. Since World War I, the day has been designated as a day to honor the fallen in all wars. In 1971, Memorial Day was set as the last Monday in May and was established as a national holiday. A memorial is something which serves to preserve remembrance, brings to mind, which helps us to remember. It could be a day, it could be a bridge, it could be a building, it could be a flag, It could even be a song. We are privileged in our nation to have many such memorials, statues, and monuments that when we pass by, we have the opportunity to read and to remember. All of those who died for the cause of freedom, the cost to preserve freedom, not only here, but over the world. Think of some of these memorials a moment. Arlington National Cemetery, where 400,000 veterans and their eligible dependents are buried. World War I Memorial, commemorating the Great War, the war that supposedly was to end all wars, where more than 2 million served overseas and 117,000 were killed. World War II Memorial honors 16 million who served in armed forces and more than 400,000 were killed. The Marine Corps War Memorial, which honors the dead of the U.S. Marines who have given their lives in defense of the United States. The Pearl Harbor National Memorial in Hawaii. The Vietnam Memorial. And we could go on and on. We are privileged with statues, with monuments, with memorials, causing us to remember. The Bible also speaks of memorials and remembrances. The Passover itself was a memorial. Exodus 12, 14 says, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." The name of God Himself is a memorial. Exodus 3, 15 says, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Even Jesus established the Lord's Supper as a way of remembering His sacrifice for our sins. Here in Joshua, stones were erected to establish a memorial. Now, friends, I want you to get the picture that Joshua is painting in words. There are two memorials here. One is there at the River Jordan. The other, the 12 men were to grab great boulders from the middle of the Jordan, place them on their shoulders, carry them out of the river, and then take them to the lodging place, which was 6 or 7 miles away, called Gilgal. And there establish a memorial so that when the day comes and your children see and ask, "What are these stones for?" you will reply, "God opened the waters of the Jordan just like He did at the Red Sea, and we crossed over into the land that God had promised." But let me ask again, why a memorial? Why Memorial Day? Let me give you three reasons this morning. First of all, because of God's faithfulness. If you look over in verse 21 of this chapter, He said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done at the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Now, sometimes when we read Scripture, we read it in terms of the people that it's talking about. In this case, we would read it in terms of Israel crossing the Jordan River. But what is it really about? It is about what God did. It is about God fulfilling His promise. It is about God standing with His people. The Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God. God with His people in great power. Mighty God. And so a memorial was built to remind and call to remembrance what God had done. Memorial Day should be a day that we honor and remember those who gave their lives, who serve and who served, who fought, who died for the cost of freedom. But Memorial Day should also bring to our minds that our national heritage, our freedoms, are tied deeply to our religious heritage. The psalmist said in Psalms 33, verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I want you to notice that Lord is all capital letters. And that simply means that this is the designation of Yahweh, the one true God. The same name that was used in Exodus 3:15, Yahweh, as a memorial. God Himself said, "My name is to be remembered." And when you read it, when you see it, when you understand, this is Yahweh, not Allah, not Buddha, or any other God. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. And here in Joshua, it is again Lord, all capital letters. It is Yahweh, the one true God, the one who makes promises and is faithful to keep His promises. God had brought Israel out of bondage and slavery, out of Egypt. And let me remind you that in the Bible, Egypt represents evil, represents a people that stood against God. And what God did in bringing Israel out, His promise was to free them from Egypt and all that Egypt represented. They were a nation in bondage, a nation of slavery that God had delivered and moved forth into the land that God Himself had promised them. You see, dear friends, God wanted and still wants a nation to be His special people. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." God wanted a people who would proclaim His praises. And friends, I want you to think about that a moment. Of all the reasons that we gather in church, of all the reasons that we truly are a nation, we are to be a nation that proclaims God. We are to be a nation that proclaims the praises of Almighty God. Not what man has done so much, but that God has been faithful and that God has made a nation unto Him. And God wants a nation unto Him to be free to worship Him. Deuteronomy 26, verse 8 and following says, "So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord Yahweh, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord Yahweh, our God, and worship before Yahweh, the one true God." As long as Israel remained true to God, they would be victorious. But now a new generation was to move forward as God's people with God's promise and God's presence as they crossed the Jordan River. Listen to verse chapter 5, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. I have established you as a people," is what God has said. And friends, our nation has a very similar history. In fact, there are Islamic terrorists that refer to the United States of America as the Big Israel. We've come through battle after battle, conflict after conflict. We have seen many wars. Our hearts have been broken because of those that have fallen, those that have served for the worthy cause. We have a history of fighting against all tyranny. We have a history that says freedom is important. I remember, many of you do too, when we went to school and we stood and we were taught to salute and to give a pledge of allegiance to our flag. I remember at the parades when the flag passed by, you stood at attention and you saluted. I remember at ball games, people removed their hats, saluted when the Star Spangled Banner was played. I have been angered many times at ball games as I've seen children and adults alike never remove their hats, never salute, carry on a conversation when we should be paying us respect to what our nation is about. We're seeing results in our nation now of years of arguments that our nation was not founded on Christian principles. I had a conversation this morning after the 8 o'clock service with someone that told me that they had a conversation with someone, and during the conversation, the statement was made that Jesus was a racist. Now, I cringe at that, and I'm sure that you do too. Now, that's not going to change my mind. It's probably not going to change yours. But tell a child that Jesus was a racist. And tell him again, and tell him again, and tell him again, in a few years, he's going to start saying Jesus was a racist. Among other things that our children are now being taught. You see, there are great attempts to change our history. The Apostle Paul gave a great warning in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 and following. He said, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Leaven is a fermenting agent. It represents evil. Now understand what Paul is writing. He is saying that you were doing good in your faith until someone hindered you, and the persuasion that they used did not come from God. It came from another source to ruin your faith. Now we've all heard the saying that one bad apple rots the whole barrel. Well, never is the reverse of that true, where one good apple placed in a barrel of rotten apples will turn them good. And you see, that's what liberalism has done in our nation. That's what liberalism has done in our history and in our churches and even in our homes. Even in our own convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, I read an article this past week how we're leaning once again to more liberalism, and we're adopting resolutions, and we're looking at things that take a step over to a different type of history that we have had as Southern Baptists. We need to beware of the leaven that these liberals bring in. Liberal teachings from the pulpit, liberal teachings from our colleges and universities are changing our history. You see, friends, plant a little lie or a little doubt about God or about church. Satan used that tactic in the Garden of Eden when he told Eve, "Has God really said?" Putting a little doubt on what God did say. That same voice introduces little doubts in our minds about God's word, about church, about our own lives. Coming saying, "Well, maybe it really didn't happen as you were taught in Sunday school. Or maybe it's not wrong to take a little drink. We'll just call it social justice or social drinking. It's okay to miss a little church every now and then. It won't hurt you." And that little lie ringing in our heads. The same liberal seed has been introduced in our colleges and universities, producing teachers who enter K through 12 and teach the children a different history, arguing that our nation was not really founded on Christian principles. Mark David Hall, a Herbert Hoover distinguished professor of political science, in an article he wrote entitled, "Did America Have a Christian Founding?" And by the way, he leans toward a history that it did not have a Christian founding. But he concludes that there was some influence of Christianity and Christian principles and morals in our founding. What we should remember is the promise of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Yahweh. Many may differ, but we must hold to the fact that God has blessed our nation with freedom to worship, freedom to proclaim His praises. And out of that freedom, church after church has been established, preaching and teaching the Word of God, and many thousands upon thousands have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And out of that freedom has come missionary after missionary, thousands of them sent into the world to fulfill the Great Commission. And friends, no other nation has ever done that on that scale. And men and women who serve, who have served, who have fought and died because they felt that that freedom was important and necessary, and God has been faithful to the United States of America. Secondly, why a memorial? Because of our forgetfulness. Look again at verse 6. When there comes a day when your children ask, "What do these stones mean?" You're going to tell them what God did. And this shall be a memorial, something to remember, to cause you to remember. The question itself anticipates a day will come when people will forget. There will be a day later, verse 21 says, when your children will ask, "Well, what's that pile of rocks for?" And you've got an opportunity to teach and to remember and to place in their minds once again what God has done. God said to Joshua, "Raise a memorial, because a day will come when people will not remember." The psalmist in Psalm 78, verse 10 and 11 says, "They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them." Verse 42 and 43 of Psalm 78, "They did not remember His power, the day when He redeemed them from the enemy, when He worked signs in Egypt and His wonders in the field of Zoan." Psalms 106, verse 13, "They soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel. Psalms 106, verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. And then we have the great psalm, Psalms 103, verses 2 through 8. Bless the Lord, Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord, Yahweh, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. The word forget there means to be oblivious. And the way to avoid becoming oblivious is to remember and to repeat and to keep it in your mind what God has done. And to teach it and to preach it and to pass it on from one generation to another. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Keep them in your mind. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." This is what it takes to keep from becoming oblivious to God and His teaching, and to keep from becoming oblivious to the great men and women who serve and have served and fought and died, is to teach our children the importance why they served, the importance of a cause worthy of their life. Why a memorial? So that we never forget those who gave their life, so that we can enjoy all that we have, all that we are able to do. We owe it all to the men and women who thought freedom was important enough to serve and to die. Matthew Henry wrote, "Our forgetfulness of God's works is at the bottom of our disobedience to His laws." Kipling wrote, "Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget." We are forgetting to teach our children the importance of God, the importance of church, the importance of Christianity. We are failing to teach our children why they can enjoy their little games, their phones, all the things that keep them occupied, because someone paid a price so that we can have the freedom. There may be a day that they ask, "What's that pile of rocks for? What's that building over there with the cross on it? Or what's that ragged piece of cloth that's hanging on that pole?" Do we cringe when we see people disrespect the flag, our statues, our monuments? When our children are taught a different history? Someone wrote, "For the first time in American history, we are outlawing American history. Ancient Babylon came into Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, carried the people to Babylon, changed their names, changed their diet." Why? Because they wanted to wipe out who they were. Modern-day Islamic terrorists have moved to burn churches and literature, tore down Christian statues and monuments. Why? Because they want to do away with who they were. They want to wipe it away. Will there be a day that it happens here in the United States? A few weeks ago, our pastor shared with us what was happening right now in Europe and Finland with pastors being arrested for reading the scriptures that is considered hate speech. Will there be a day when people are oblivious to the Pledge of Allegiance or to the wars and conflicts, the loss of life? Think about all those who served and have died. In the American Civil War, 620,000 died. That number has been updated now, somewhere close to 850,000 that died in the American Civil War. World War II, 400,000 died. World War I, 117,000 died. Vietnam, 58,000 died. The Korean War, 37,000. The War on Terror lists 7,000 that have died. Many, many, many people have died. Why a memorial? Because we're forgetting. We're forgetting about our nation and our history. And friends, all of our history has not been pretty, but it's still history. And it is still our history. And all of it needs to be taught and not changed. Thirdly, why a memorial? Because of future generations. Verse 7 says, "These stones shall be a memorial forever." If we do not teach the importance of the cost of our freedoms, our children will not know, and there will be no future. If we do not pass along to another generation, they will not know. If we do not pass along the greatness of our nation, if we do not pass along respect for our flag, for our monuments, if we do not have memorials, if we do not remember, if we do not pass along to the next generation and inspire generations to ask why and who, there will be no future. A memorial is set to cause us to remember and to teach our children, and teach our children we must. And we must remember that the same God who delivered Israel from bondage, Daniel from the lions, the three Hebrew boys from the fire, Paul from the stonings, is the same God who delivers us. The same God who gave a group of settlers the courage to stand for freedom to worship is the same God who calls upon us to seek answers and solutions to the world's difficulties and terror, and to pass along the principles set forth in God's Word. We must remember to assure the next generation has a future. Why a memorial? So that we will remember that all that we enjoy in life came at great cost of someone else. Would you pray with me? Oh God and Father, thank you for the day, for the opportunity to preach your word, and for all that takes place here today. Thank you that we can remember and that we should be reminded of the cost. Most of all, Lord, we need to be reminded of the cost of our freedom in Christ, and that was His blood. We have eternal life if we have trusted in Christ. We have a home in heaven if we have trusted in Christ. And we are grateful, we are thankful. And we of all people should be people who sing and shout the praises of our God. And Lord, this morning I pray that you stir our hearts about you and about church, about the Bible. Stir our hearts about our freedoms. Stir our hearts about the men and women who sacrificed. Stir our hearts, Lord, that we would be broken, brought back to you, molded and shaped. Better men and women because of it. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, our invitation is going to be number 134, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all for you, for your life, to have eternity. Maybe there are one this morning who has never trusted Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to meet me here at the altar. Standing, representing your pastor and your church, would you meet me here? Or a chance to share with you, pray with you. Maybe you have a decision to make that's not salvation. And you need to come this morning. Perhaps it's to come into this church, as our pastor always says. Whatever decision you need to make, I will meet you here. Pray with you. Or call on someone else to pray with you. And what about these altars? How vacant they have been. Our hearts ought to be stirred. Friends, if America means something still to all of us, it's time for the altar to be renewed, for the altar to be wet with tears, for our knees to be sore to gather at the altar, to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our churches, our pastors. It's not easy being a pastor, but it's tremendously powerful in the eyes of God. And God has called our pastor to preach his word, which he does faithfully. And we ought to celebrate that. My friends, I'll meet you here at the altar as we stand and sing. Thank you once again for being here this morning, for your attentiveness, as it always is when the Word of God is preached. And again, I want to say thank you to our pastor, who is faithful to preach the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of being in the pulpit today. Brother Hunter, come and pray for us. Gunter, Tom, I'm sorry. Tom, lead us in prayer and close.
Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for the message that Dr. Turner has given us today, Lord, and it's a concerning message. It's one of eye-opening worry that we should all have, Lord, and we just pray that we don't forget those stones that are piled up, the monuments, the memories. Father, we also at this time offer up our offering for you, this church, that you told us that we need to give and should give willingly. Father, we just ask that you be with us the rest of this week, this Memorial Day holiday. Father, we just ask that you bless America. God bless America. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.